Is this one of their moments where we're on and I don't know we're on? It is one of those moments. Of course it is. Hello, welcome to the Villaview match preview. Usual shambles. What was that noise as well? I'm here to preview Crystal Palace v Aston Villa with my good friend Omar. Omar, how are you?
Good, mate, yeah. Technology troubles as always.
But yeah, this is what we absolutely thrive on. This is what it's all about,
yeah.
Omar.
This is why people tune in, isn't it?
On time, as always, as well. I mean, if we can't get the simple thing like an intro right, I absolutely dread to think what's going to happen with this next bit. We are going to have a little segment from our sponsors, BetMate. So I have joined the Saturday 3 p.m. pot this week. Basically, I'm going to pick a 7-a-side team based around all the 3 o'clock kickoffs. I mean, is this working? Am I on the screen? I'm hoping the producer is going to give me a thumbs up because I actually haven't got the right screen up. Here we go. We're in. So I'm going to pick my team now. So my goalkeeper, I'm going to go with Dean Henderson. Why not? Saved a penalty last week. I'm going to go Nico Williams as well because I thought he looked very good going forward for Nottingham Forest. Next up, do I put a Villa defender in? I don't know. I'm not sure that we'll keep a clean sheet, to be perfectly honest. I instead will... Oh, you know what? I'm going to give Luca Dean another chance. He's been in my team every week so far, and he's in my fantasy football team and done absolutely nothing for me. So I'm going to give him another chance. Next up, I'm going to put Josh De Silva in because he scored a couple of goals already. And then I'm going to go Madison as well because I like James Madison, the simple reason. Up front, Ollie Watkins is going to score at the weekend, so I'm going to pick him. And I'm going to partner him with his former Brentford teammate, Ivan Toney. And they're not former Brentford teammates, are they? Ivan Toney replaced Ollie Watkins, but they both played for Brentford at some point in their careers. Now, substitutes, this is where I'm going to come a cropper because I don't know who I've put in and who I haven't. So I'm going to go Rodak for Fulham. I will then go... What do we do here? What do I do? Go Bella Kotchap because he had a good shot from long range last week. Again, a sound reason to put someone in there. Jeff Schlupp because he scored against Villa last season as well. I really would like Zahar in my team. I forgot about Zahar, but we'll leave him on the bench for now. There's every chance that I will change that team at some point, but that's the team I'm going with to begin with. Definitely don't want Josh De Silva as captain, so we will put Madison as captain. Done. And then we'll go Ollie Watkins as our vice captain. Done. And that's the BetMate team. So if you want to join this pot, see if you can beat me. You probably will beat me because I think most people have beaten me so far playing this game. Then you go and join the Saturday 3 p.m. pot and you could win your share of £600 and you get spread out between everyone that's in the league. So yeah, the more people that are in the league, actually it's worse if more people go in the league, isn't it? Because you've got less chance of winning some money. But yeah, £3 entry fee, guaranteed £600 payout. See if you can beat your mates and beat myself. Use that code that's on the screen there. I'm not going to read it, but you can see it on the screen. And now we are ready to preview Crystal Palace v Aston Villa. Omar and Villa off the back of a win. I fancy us. We went there last season and won Crystal Palace. Actually one of my favourite away days that there was last season. Do you fancy us?
Yeah, I do. I think, well, we haven't got a great record in London, do we, in general, generally speaking. But I think against Palace, we've done okay. Obviously, I remember when Benteke scored all those years ago. Was it Tim Sherwood at the time? Or Lambert? It might have been Lambert, I think. We won 1-0. And then last year, yeah, I think it was probably one of our better performances. I think Gerrard was in by then, wasn't he? He was, yeah. And it was a sort of a... From start to finish, apart from the goal we conceded at the end, I thought it was a really good performance. And we need something similar this year against Palace. Obviously, a great, great side, doing really well under Vieira. Come on, leaps and bounds since Vieira's been there. Obviously, had a lot of turnovers of players as well. Loads of players left on frees, expiring contracts, transfers away, and they've sort of rebuilt that side. It's quite a young side, pacey side. Did well against Liverpool. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. No doubt about that, but... I think we're going to have to employ a sort of a similar tactic to last year and hope that's enough. We're obviously back off on the back of a win as well, so hopefully confidence is high. Be interesting to see how he adapts the lineup or tactics for that game on Saturday. How are you feeling about it?
All right, I think I will say last year, you know, when we've talked about many times about the outside central midfielders playing as a fullback, I did think that that worked really well last season with McGinn cutting off Zaha, who played on the left that day. McGinn did a really good job on Wilfred Zaha that day at Selhurst Park and kept him quiet. I thought Zaha came in with a very intelligent performance against Liverpool and good tactics from Patrick Vieira as well, because basically what he did was he was playing as the lone front man. But when Liverpool had the ball, he basically just cut off the pass to Van Dijk, made sure that was never an option, let Nat Phillips have the ball, and that kind of played into Crystal Palace's hands, really. And then as soon as Palace got the ball, he completely changed what he was doing and he pinned himself on Nat Phillips, and then that's where the goal came from for Crystal Palace. I thought Wilfred Zaha was excellent against Liverpool. He's always full of confidence anyway, but he's obviously their biggest threat. But there's no reason why we can't go there and get a result. We've got a little bit of a momentum now, having got our first win of the season. Hopefully there's a little bit of a feel-good creeping back in after getting 3 points. Crystal Palace have got, you know, Selhurst Park, I don't think their home record actually is the best, but it always feels like it's a difficult place to go. It's definitely, they've got the best home fans in the Premier League for me. I think they always create a good atmosphere. They always stay with the team and get behind the team, whatever's happening. But, you know, we put in a decent display last week. I thought Ollie Watkins was really good. I think he can potentially cause Crystal Palace problems. And I think Emi Buendia will probably be in from the start. And I'd fancy him to have a good game as well, Omar.
Who do you reckon he'll come in for then? Because obviously Coutinho was... you'd reckon it will be, yeah. I mean, I think Coutinho, for me, I think he's got to play at home more than away. I don't know if you can do that. I don't know if that's Gerrard's... some managers do like to sort of switch the team up depending on the opposition and where they're playing, etc. But I don't know if Gerrard's more traditional in the sense that if you're playing well, you start regardless of who you're playing against. But I would like to see... I would like to see Buendia play against teams like Crystal Palace, Bournemouth away, you know, these more difficult games where you need someone who's busy, who's able to pressurise teams and create something out of nothing. Whereas I think at home, Coutinho, where we can have more of the ball, he can sort of find those pockets of spaces. And you know, I know you've said it quite a few times, as long as we have someone in midfield who can find him quickly, then I think he'll do better there. And I think this kind of game definitely cries out for a Buendia type rather than a Coutinho type. So I'd be exactly the same change. Apart from that, I think Watkins and Ings work well together. I think we said it last year, didn't we? From everyone being concerned about how they're going to play together, I think some of our best performances, and probably all of our best performances under Gerrard, have come when they've both played together. And as we saw last week, they both work well together. And I think they do genuinely have a good friendship off the pitch as well, which helps. So again, I'd like to see them.
I think they want to make it work. I think that's what. I think they realise it probably hasn't gone as they would have expected it, and I think they actually make effort to try and make it work. Both good guys are around the place trying. You can see when one of them scores, the other one's always nearly the first one on the scene, I've noticed.
Yeah.
So I think they try and make it work more than anything. But I've completely changed my mind with what I said. I was thinking while you were talking, I think he'll play one up front. I actually think Coutinho will get one more chance, but it'll be Coutinho and Buendia playing off Watkins. If you think that Selhurst Park as well is quite a tight pitch, maybe it's an ideal game to play two.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I don't know.
He said he only played two up front against a back three, didn't he? He played two up front because it was against a back three. Crystal Palace played with a back three, I think, against Liverpool on Monday, but they won't do that against us. So I've completely changed my mind. I think it'll be Coutinho and Buendia playing off Watkins.
Yeah, I will be interested to see how Crystal Palace play, because they obviously came with a game plan and it worked to some extent against Liverpool with the five at the back. And it was basically 5-4-1, wasn't it? That's basically what they were doing. And Zaha was the release ball, and Eze was the one they were trying to get on the ball as quickly as possible to sort of create something. And it worked well. And the onus will be on them at home against us. So whether they play five at the back, I'm not too sure. And how they play the personnel. They had Jordan Ayew playing right wing, who's more of a defensive right winger, I would say. Whether they bring on, whether they play Aless or Ebuwe as well, who's the younger player, who's quite a tricky player. I imagine he'll come off from the bench. But yeah, I'll see how they line up. I'd be surprised if Ings gets dropped after scoring and putting in a good shift. And generally playing well. But yeah, maybe then I'm sort of backtracking my point around, you know, play horses for courses.
No, we can't make up our mind.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he'll make one change in Buendia for Coutinho, but it's a bit surprising if he drops Coutinho, because he's only ever dropped Coutinho once, and that was to rest him, wasn't it? Against Burnley, I think it was last year.
Burnley away, yeah.
Burnley away. So whether he does that this year, whether he does it this time, I'm not too sure. But I thought Coutinho worked hard. I just think things didn't come up for him. it wasn't like he wasn't putting his shift
sometimes
in,
he's the why.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I guess we'll see. It's weird. Their midfield was like Jeffrey Schlupp is like a bit like Iwobi, Everton, and Joe Linton. You know, these sort of former wingers playing in midfield and doing a fairly good job. It's a bit of a weird one, isn't it?
But you know what, Schlupp, and this is where I give Patrick Vieira immense credit. He has improved people that were already there at Crystal Palace, and I think that's a massive thing to point out. Even like James McArthur, when he was playing last season, he was a far better footballer than he'd ever been under Roy Hodgson. Now, obviously, Patrick Vieira plays a more expansive brand of football, but I think Schlupp actually been one of the real success stories for Patrick Vieira in the Crystal Palace midfield, and I think they're actually a better team when he plays. He provides good energy. He's quite tricky in a weird way. That's a terrible description. You wouldn't know that I talk about football for a job. That's a terrible description there, but do you know what I mean? Like, he's not skillful.
Yeah.
But he gets around the pitch well with and without the ball. I actually quite like Jeff Schlupp.
And he's powerful as well. You know, OOB, Joe Linton, Schlupp, they're all powerful players. And I think you need that in midfield, and you can win a midfield battle.
Thanks.
Obviously, the top teams have, you know, the likes of Rodri or Bernardo Silva or Thiago or players like that, you know, that are maybe not as a bit more diminutive in their stature, but they're just excellent footballers, so they can do a job without having to worry about how big they are. But I think generally speaking, for everyone outside the top six or top four, you need to have a bit of presence in midfield, and I think that's what these players have done. Obviously, they got Decore as well, who we were linked with, who I know Neil absolutely loves. And again, he's looked like a good signing. He's come in and bedded in.
He loves every obscure footballer there's ever been.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I know. He knew all the stats of Kaletica. And I was like, straight away when we were linked with him, I was like, Neil, can you help me out? Is he any good? He's like, yeah, I've seen him play those. I don't know how he finds the time, but fair play to him.
Let's talk about centre-back a little bit. The word on the street I'm hearing today is that Villa are looking at a backup centre-back to come in and provide competition. I presume Tyrone Mings is going to play again. I would assume that's going to happen. Who do you think will be playing next to him? First, what do you think Steven Gerrard will do? And then second, what would you do?
I think he may try Konsa, because I think Konsa's better against pace. Especially Eze, Zaha, AU, you know, we just talked about the pace they've got in their team. I personally would go for Chambers, because I think the game plan I would try and employ is let Crystal Palace have the ball. Is, you know, they Crystal Palace do where they do well is where they have pockets of space to exploit. And as you saw against Liverpool, and I think if we let them have the ball, they don't necessarily have ball players in their midfield apart from Eze. So for that reason, I imagine we'll probably play a bit deeper, and I think that's why Chambers probably be better rather than Konsa. I think if we're playing a higher line, Konsa's great, better against pace, and he can sort of nullify that threat. But I think if we're playing a bit deeper and letting them have the ball and trying to exploit them on the transition and on the break, then I think Chambers is probably a better defender in that kind of formation or that kind of style, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a weird one with Konsa and Mings, because obviously the season, the back end of the season, we nearly went down, and going into the next season, they were a very accomplished partnership. But then last season, I just never felt fully comfortable with them two as a two. And I thought Mings looked a lot better when he was playing next to Chambers. But I do think it will be Konsa that starts. I think it will be back to Konsa and Mings, I think.
Konsa's a weird one, isn't he? He was 2 years ago, he was one of the best defenders in the league. No doubt about it. He was getting praise on Sky Sports. Everyone was like, when Mings got called up to the England squad, they were like, how is Konsa not in the squad? You know, because Konsa was at the time performing at a much higher level. And he's got all the attributes. But, you know, that was when is there something to do with fans? I don't know. But I think a lot of it is to do with physicality. I think where he's struggled is where he's got bullied in games, where he's been up against someone who's been a bit of a physical presence. And I think that's where he's struggled. I think when he comes up against players who are quick and nimble, maybe are looking for a bit more, you know, ball to feet, then I think Konsa's great. On a one-to-one battle, Konsa's brilliant. You know, he hardly ever gets dribbled past. But I think part of it is physicality, part of it is probably confidence as well, because he hasn't played well. He's in and out the side. And he's a kind of player probably does need a run of games, especially a centre-back. I think any centre-back needs a run of games. Whereas I think someone like Buendia, Coutinho, they can sort of switch quite easily, because, you know, they can come and change a game from that sort of, you know, that final third position. Whereas I think at centre back, you need to have consistent games and get form a partnership with your back four and your keeper. And I think if that's not happening, then it's part of the problem, definitely. But I mean, Konsa Mings, Luka Dean, you know, that on paper should be a really good back four and should be more than good enough for the rest of the season, really. But I think the fact that we obviously signed Carlos as well is another thing in terms of confidence. You know, it's not a great signal to Mings, Konsa and Chambers that in terms of the belief in him. And I think it's warranted, of course, but obviously that may play part of it. I don't know. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I mean, Lewis Price is saying in the comments that John Terry left and Konsa's standards dropped significantly. That's a reasonable point. I would say those two things did coincide. What I'm thinking about is the manager change more so than John Terry leaving. I think, yeah, we finished 11th, didn't we? That season we beat Liverpool 7-2. And in the main, we defended very well the first half of that season, but it was very narrow. Fullbacks close to you. When we defended, Villa defended their 18-yard box as a narrow back four. Fullbacks didn't quite have as much license to get forward. Now, under Steven Gerrard, the fullbacks are a massive part of that. So there's a lot of the time where the fullbacks aren't on the scene. They're not going to be in that defensive four, and you're not going to be able to defend in that same way. And I think he struggled with that. That's my opinion. I could be wrong with what I'm saying there.
Yeah.
The style in which Dean Smith side, when Konsa was at his best, the style in which that Dean Smith team defended suited Ezri Konsa. I'm not sure the way we play now suits him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really valid point. And I think Ryan Faulkner is another listener who's made a comment around the fullbacks. And I think that is a key point, I think, for this match as well, in terms of how we play. I thought Matty Cash in particular against Everton played a lot deeper than he normally does. I don't know what he thought. Luka Dean was bombing forward more often than not. And, you know, we tried to find that diagonal for him and failed a couple of times. But I thought Matty Cash was a bit more reserved in defence. And I wonder whether we'll do the same thing this game, or whether they'll both be sort of sitting back and sort of waiting for the counter. But yeah, obviously there's no cover there, is there? And also, I think the other point, I guess, missed as well, we played with two in midfield as well for a lot of that season, where he was great. You know, we had McGinn and Dougie Louise playing as a two. So that offers a bit more protection for the fullbacks. Yeah, so if Matty Cash did go forward, then if Konsa was sort of one-on-one or was exposed a little bit, then he had one of the midfielders there to help him out as well, which obviously now we don't, because Kamara tends to be the lone man there now, or before that, Canberra and Louise as well. So maybe that's part of it. I think confidence is a big thing, though. I definitely think confidence is a big thing. I think once you have a bad run of games or a bad couple of games and you're out the side, then rebuilding that confidence is a difficult thing. And that's where the man management comes in, isn't it? What Gerrard and his coaching staff are doing off the pitch, what they're trying to do to get him back in the side. I thought it was a mistake to play him against Bournemouth. You know, the fact that he'd been injured, had one pre-season game, was quite a bit of a surprise that he was actually back fit and ready by the first game of the season, to be honest, and to get him straight in the side when, you know, he hadn't had that much game practice and again was coming off the back of a bad run of form. I thought, I don't know, maybe it was one of those gambles where you think if he plays well, then that rebuilds his confidence. But on hindsight, it was probably a bad decision. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think I'm confident with either Konsa and Chambers. They're both on their day should do a job, but we definitely need a centre back. And whether they go all out and spend a lot of money or get a reserve, I think, you know, Diego Carlos is 29.
It's not going to be a big signing, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't.
Not alone, wouldn't surprise me at all.
I wouldn't. Yeah, someone like I don't know, Jason Denier has been linked. Eric Bailly, maybe. Rob Holding, no. I think we need someone who's...
Rob Holding wouldn't leave Arsenal.
Yeah, he wouldn't, yeah.
You need four centre-halves. Yeah. He's still their fourth centre-half, Rob Holding. He's not going to leave Arsenal to become a third or fourth centre-half at Villa. That's just not going to happen.
Well, I think that whoever comes in as a centre-back now has a good chance of staking their claim in the team. So, because obviously Carlos was number one starter, so I think anyone's coming in, you know, I think that Mings has solidified that position and should do. And then you've got...
Well, he's the only left-hand-sided centre-back there now. Especially if he looks like Hawes is still going to go. Looks like Hawes is still going to go to Watford. So,
yeah. Although he was training, wasn't he?
Kind of so really.
Yeah. Well, the horse was training, wasn't it? But yeah, it looks like he's going to go. But I would like to see someone experienced who's ready-made to just come in on loan as an option. And I think I wouldn't like to see us spend big money because I'd hope that Diego Carlos is able to get back. I know it's going to be difficult with the injury, and it's one of those injuries where it's difficult to come back from. But, you know, we signed a 4-year contract at the end of the day. He's going to be out for six to eight months. So it doesn't necessarily mean his career is finished or anything like that, especially the way medicine works and physiotherapy works. And he's obviously, you can see, he's a specimen of a man. So you'd imagine, you know, he'd come back to peak fitness a lot easier than other people would as well. So yeah, I don't know about you, but you know, I know we're not going to talk about transfers too much, but the rest of the pitch, I still think we need that number eight, and I would still like to see it. And there's still enough quality in that team, but it's more of an, I just feel like every window, especially every summer window, we always seem like we're one short of what we need. And this year we still seem one short. So centre back, obviously put to one side, but I still think we need one more, whether it's up front or midfield.
It depends who you talk to. I'm hearing different things today. So I've been sat at the Sky most of the day. So you hear different things that are going on with different teams. Nothing concrete with anyone at the moment. I think the centre-back's the thing that's definitely on the agenda, because that's come as an emergency transfer. Essentially, Villa are going to need to get a centre-back in. But more of what I hear today, maybe that there might be one coming in another position as well, but nothing imminent at all. They're just looking as is. But
yeah, I
agree with you. I still think we need a number eight in the right way. You've seen Wolves sign Nunes. Obviously, we know why. He's gone there. We know what about Wolves' transfer ethos and who's involved in that. I think that's an unbelievable signing for them. For us to be able to, it would be nice for us to be able to get in a player like that, because he's good at ball recoveries and a good passer. You know, that's the kind of person you want as a number eight in Villa's midfield. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how he goes. Still another 2 weeks to go of the transfer window. Do you want to give me a prediction then for Crystal Palace v Aston Villa, Omar?
Yeah, I think it's going to be 1-0 Villa. I think it's going to be a tight game, and I reckon Danny Ings will nick one at the end.
I'll go for a tentative 1-1. Lose, win, draw to start the season. That sounds Villa-like to me. Although, we couldn't buy a draw at times last season. And then at the end of the season, we decided that we could draw games again. So I'll go for Crystal Palace 1, Aston Villa 1. That does us then for this week's match preview in association with BetMate. Do go and join the league. The instructions should be in the description somewhere on our channel, I would hope. Don't forget to subscribe to the Villa View as well with your post notifications on, so you know when our next video is coming out, which will be a post-match point in association with Purity at some point after the Crystal Palace game. So yeah, watch out for that video coming out. Thanks to Omar for joining me. Anyone travelling up to Selhurst Park on Saturday, I hope you have an excellent time. And as always, up the Villa.
Up the Villa.